Yep, looks like we're going live. Hey, looks like we're live. Look at that. All right, guys. Hey, welcome to the Three Podcasters Walk Into a Bar. I'm actually going to get this right today. I'm not with the Crude Truth. I'm a guest usually on the Crude Truth. My name's Stu Turley, President and CEO of the Sandstone Group. Welcome to the Three Podcasters Walk Into a Bar. Have you ever had that crazy uncle sit back and kind of go, oh, by the way, I got these three guys that walk into a bar, and at a Christmas party, the whole family's digging for the carpet to get away from that crazy uncle. I know the other two guys walking into a bar. I got David Blackman. David Blackman is a Forbes contributing author. He's over there also at The Energy Question, which is going through the roof. He's a Daily Caller author. He's on The Energy Realities. He does not sleep, and he has a tapeworm. David, thank you so much.
I'm medicating that tapeworm, though, I'll tell you what.
We're all going to need a tapeworm with this political season going on. RT Trevino is a big dog over there at Trevino Family Resources. And I'll tell you what, you're also a big dog over there at Pecos Operating, and he's got his own podcast, The Crude Truth. How are you today, RT?
I'm doing well, Stu. I can't complain. It's a great day. Shout outs to everybody up in the north in the panhandle, and please double check your donations, but please donate where you can to help out.
Oh, yes. Honestly, that is pretty darn frightening.
It is.
Our prayers go out for those folks. It's not something that we want to make a joke about at all.
Yeah.
I'd like to find out how it got started.
No telling, man. When it gets dry up there, it's
yeah. Pretty. When it gets dry, shoot. When you get dry up there, you don't even smoke when you're out there and it's dry. I mean, that's just what you do.
I was arranging for an interview with a guy that was an investigator out in California when the big grid was causing fires out there, and they had a lot of those fires. He said, quote unquote, "I investigated 7,000 fires on the East Coast. Three were started naturally."
Yeah.
Wow.
It just breaks my heart that we have such chowderheads out there. Hey, we got us some energy stories today, guys. Let's start with the David Blackman here. David, you got two fantastic stories here for us to chat about. And by the way, David, what is your Substack address? Because I love your Substack.
Yeah, it's blackman.substack.com. It's very easy, and everything I write gets linked there or published there secondarily one way or another, and so it's a good way to find everything I'm doing.
As we say in the woods, it's a hoot.
So, today I wrote about this thing with India. Naturally, the latest sanctions that the U.S. government is putting on Russia are now backfiring, redounding on India, which is a longtime ally of our country. India has been sourcing crude oil at below market prices from Russia for 2 years now for their refining business, which is growing rapidly, and their consumption of oil and gas is growing rapidly. And so it's been a big economic boon for this country that has a historically low standard of living and 1.2 billion citizens. And now the U.S. sanctions are hitting on a specific Russian tanker company that had not been subject to the previous sanction regime. Now they're specifically sanctioning that specific Russian tanker company, and that is disrupting Russian flows of oil into India. So now India is going to pay an economic price for U.S. using currency as a weapon of war, and which is something, Stu, I know you have had major concerns about over the past few years. And here we see it again, impacting negatively a U.S. ally. So question, how wise that is.
It's sad. In fact, I was looking at another article. Let me see who this was from. Oh, it came in on my newsfeed, so I have to go look up who it came from. and the title is Russia Can Enter the World's Top Four Economies. Putin sanctions. I don't fear them. They tickle.
Well, he said that? Russia's economy is the fastest growing economy in Europe. Okay. 2.4% economic growth last year. Germany's economy, which we're going to talk about in a minute, contracted by 0.3%. I mean, it grew faster. Russia's economy grew faster in 2023 than every economy in the European continent. Okay. So these sanctions are not harming Putin. What they're doing is redounding on countries like India and European countries that have relied on Russia for supplies of a lot of things, not just energy. And it's such a counterproductive thing to be doing, but whatever, you know.
And BRICS has taken off like you wouldn't believe, and right. It's becoming a powerhouse.
And that's the net impact, is it's going to push India further and further into the BRICS, into the Russia-China orbit, and away from the United States.
And another article came out today, David, that fits right into that, is Pakistan has a decades-long natural gas pipeline that they're looking at reconnecting to Russia. So Russia, the whole geopolitical thing, you guys still got to visit with George McMillan. It's all been about pipelines and keeping Russia's pipelines out. That's why it got blowed up, as we say in Texas. You know, keeping those pipelines out there. So even Japan, we're going to lose Japan because they only have a 30-mile pipeline, which is nothing in the age of pipeline to connect Russia to Japan. Let's see. World War III happens. If you were Japan, would you like to have some energy or wait on tankers?
I don't know. Seems like a pretty easy choice.
Well, what about your other article? I love that one.
Yeah, rooftop solar industry is having problems, and it's having problems mainly due to the, you know, frankly, dishonest way it's been marketed to homeowners. Wow. You know, it's been marketed in the same way universal life insurance was marketed back in the 1980s before RT was born, which is a big scam.
Wow. You know, I love it, David. That's the first harsh thing you've said in a few days. Well done.
Well, what? Before RT was born? Man, that's a compliment. You know, I wish I wasn't that old.
He does have a baby face.
But, you know, when you... So after Winter Storm Uri, and I'll just tell this story. My wife and I, we had been without power for 5 days. We decided to... We got to have backup power one way or another. So we evaluated natural gas generator. We also evaluated rooftop solar. And to do that, you have to contact these third-party marketing companies. And what happens is they send a kid out who just got out of high school, doesn't know anything about the subject matter, but he's learned to present on his iPad this slide deck with all the talking points about it. Can't answer any questions. And they try to talk you into entering into a 25-year, what amounts to a second mortgage on your home, paying an exorbitant price at, quote, 0% interest for these solar panels and a couple of Tesla wall batteries for your garage to provide the backup power. And what they don't tell you is that 0% interest is a complete and total scam. Because if you pay cash for our home, which is about 4,000 square feet, you know, it's a fairly nice house, a fairly sizable house, it would have cost us to pay cash $60,000. Well, if you finance $60,000 at 0% interest over 25 years, your payment's almost nothing, okay? Mm-hmm. But instead, they quote me a payment of $300 or $400 a month, and I'm like, well, how can that be the case? And he's like, oh, well, you know, the finance company requires you to finance $150,000 principal at 0% interest. So what does that mean? What it means is you're paying about a 10% compounded interest loan over 25 years for this, okay? It's a complete and total 100% scam. And state governments who have implemented all these subsidies for rooftop solar are rethinking their commitment to this scam now and starting to back off on the policies pushing this, because who's mainly been getting preyed upon by these third-party marketing companies is poor people and elderly people who don't know the right questions to ask, don't really understand what is being presented to them, and sign on the dotted line because they think they're going to save money on their monthly utility bills, but that doesn't really come about either.
Yeah.
So this thing, you know, now there was this article in some publication out in California talking about how the whole thing's starting to collapse in California. And quite honestly, it couldn't happen to a better bunch of people.
So, well, you know, I saw somebody try to do a deal on these solar panels. And again, I've probably said it before. They say that you pay them off and they pay for themselves within, you know, 5 to 6 years or something like that. And then you're selling the rest of the natural, the energy. But, you know, who are you selling it to? You have no control over any of that. I mean, at least when I'm producing oil, I can pick who I sell my oil to. I can somewhat, natural gas is a little, because there's not as many natural gas pipelines. But, you know, I've got a couple of choices and I can go, hey, these guys are charging me less. These guys are doing this. But with this rooftop, you have no control over any of that, do you, David?
No. And the state, of course, the grid managers can change their policies on how much of your power they're willing to accept into the grid at any time.
Yeah.
At any time it becomes advantageous to the state to change policies, they can do it. They have the absolute right to do it. The other thing you don't get told about up front is that the batteries that are, you know, going to be your backup power during an emergency have basically an 8 to 10 year life expectancy. You're entering into a 25-year agreement. Each battery costs you $8,000 to $10,000 to replace. You're going to replace them at least twice during the course of that 25-year agreement. So, you know, there's an extra $40,000.
Well, what did you end up doing? Yeah, what'd you end up doing?
Well, we got a natural gas generator. It's the only thing that made any sense.
And would you do it like once a month or something like that, or what?
What do you mean once a month?
Like you start it up once a month or anything?
Oh, yeah, you got to test it periodically, yeah. And, you know, it cost about, what it cost, $13,000, $14,000 total for a whole home generator. And, you know, which isn't cheap, but it was a whole lot cheaper than. And the other thing, too, is so we're in a place in North Texas, we have hailstorms, right? Yeah. So you got your roof covered with these glass solar panels. What's going to happen when the big hailstorm comes through? Well, it's going to tear up your roof and it's going to tear up your solar panels. Well, you know, they've got a warranty, so most of the cost to replace the solar panels are going to be covered. But if you have roof damage, you're going to have to take everything off to repair your roof first and then put it all back on with new solar panels. So it,
wow,
it just, it's a wild thing. It's, okay. It's amazing.
Anyway. David, I responded to your Substack, and I've got four buildings here. I've got two propane generators that will run. One of them will run all four, but I got two of those, and I got three propane tanks. But then again, I'm putting solar in to keep my office running because I have run out of propane before in the past. And then I'm putting in wind turbines because I want to be able to understand how all this fits together. And I wanted to honestly shoot myself in the foot trying to get all this stuff wired in. It is costly. And then you try to figure out, I can't get contractors out here. And then I'm sitting there, holy smokes, Batman. So, you know, trying to have redundancy because the grid could go down at any moment, even for a natural disaster, let alone the fact that I've been talking for the last 2 years that the Chinese are sitting there with control of the remote control of the grid. And thanks to Secretary Mayorkas, beloved strength as a leader in our Secretary of Homeland Security, they now have access for 30% of the grid.
Yeah. So
it's personal opinion. Dangerous. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
So, RT, let's head off to your story here, dude. Yes. You're a rock star. No. I love this one.
No, this was a great off my Crude Truth Substack. So if anybody's out there, definitely take a look. The article comes from BBC.com. However, this is just if it's not the pot calling the kettle black. Basically, in a nutshell, we've got a UK power station that was converted from coal, if I'm understanding correctly. It is burning wood pellets to provide the UK 5% of their annual electricity.
I believe they're from Canada on rare trees.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Is not only are they burning wood, but they're shipping freaking wood from Canada to Europe, and they're an endangered species tree, and it's technically a no tree zone. And they are, they have their satellite images, and you can just station they have done to Canada. On these burning wood pellets just to provide energy. And get this, and I quote, the company Drax says its wood pellets are sustainable and legally harvested. It's like, yes, wood is sustainable, but it's not, it's stupid. And so this is, we're going to cut up over here. This is why America gets a bad rap, because we're supposedly the ones going into Africa, going into India and taking over. And while you got Europe doing it to Japan, to Canada, and China's doing it to Africa all over the place right now, but yet America is the ones that's getting the bad rap for this stuff. Come on now. I mean, this is just another example of how, when you take the island of Haiti and the Dominican Republic, and how the Dominican Republic has natural gas for green lush forest. Haiti, part of the same island, has burned all their wood, and people are abandoning that place like it's going out of style. Again, people, natural gas, oil, they help save the environment, and so did coal in this stand until they converted it over to a drilling area. I mean, basically, another thing it says is that all of the 6.5 million wood pellets were produced overseas. Why? Because Europe ain't got no more trees anyway. So it's like, they're not even learning. They're just taking from somewhere else. That greed is ridiculous.
Patrick put out a good thing. Germany cut all the trees in the Black Forest to run powder for several months. Not sure if this is still happening. And then Patrick, you're an absolute hoot. I love you. Isn't coal wood under high pressure for millennia?
I think actually that's what it is. Yes.
Yeah.
What about peat? Peat bog.
By the way, they also have cut down thousands of acres of forests in Germany, Scotland, and Ireland to build wind farms.
Guys, I had a article last year come through, and it had over 65,000 people on that article on energynewsbeat.co. 12,000 trees cut down for the wind farms in Scotland. I mean, you can't beat that kind of entertainment. So
I tell you what.
Yeah, Patrick, thank you so much. And if you have any questions.
These wood pellet companies are supposed to just be using brush coal that falls out, dead wood that falls out of trees to make these pellets from. Article about Drax is pretty damning, talking about how many loads of old forest growth, full logs, logged trees that they've used to make these pellets from. That's a different thing. And real environmentalists who aren't hypocrites should be very concerned about it.
They should be, David. And this is a prime example of what the oil and gas industry does as far as stop this kind of thing. Basically, Europe is still using wood to produce their heat and their energy, 5% of it. I mean, that's basically what they're doing, is putting a fire in their kitchen to cook on and to stay warm. And that is basically what this power plant does. I mean, just a terrible, terrible deal.
Pincus Titian, and I am so sorry if I mispronounce your name. That's a little bit of the Oklahoma Texan in me here. It says forests are being cut, burnt intentionally to reduce rainfall supply. Not everyone knows that rainfalls are coming in direct proportion to forestation on the land. I did not know that.
Yeah, there's a cycle. What do they call it? Feedback cycle between forest and rainfall.
Oh. Yeah, it's kind of like the hypocrisy in California, because they're using 70% of the oil out of the rainforest that China is doing, so they can import their oil so they can feel good, kind of like the UK. Feeling good about the environment, but you're putting the pollution somewhere else. So the UK is putting their pollution and devastation in Canada, and we're doing it to the rain, not we. The state of California, excuse me, the country, third world country of California. Let's hear it for the leadership of California. That's a moment of silence. Thank you very much.
Always my favorite. Yeah.
Okay. And then what is this? Pinchas again. I hope I don't say your name. If you do it on a global scale, which is happening, you get all the climate change and water scarcity. Dude, you may be right. I appreciate it, and thank you for putting that.
We're getting some. We're kind of not going off, but going off on one of Stu's little theories here inadvertently.
Call me a conspiracy theory guy when things happen.
Wow, but I mean, think about it. You mentioned it right. It's like, why can China go into the rainforest right now to drill for oil, devastate all that land, and you don't hear anybody saying a gosh darn thing? You know. Money is a powerful thing, and you're not hijacking anything. We appreciate the opportunity.
Oh,
and,
we love a good conspiracy.
Stu loves them.
A conspiracy theory.
This was the biggest fear for me going live, was Stu and his conspiracy theory.
Thanks a lot, Pincus. I am so sorry, but thank you. And I'm getting beat up by my brethren.
Well, you know what I say about conspiracy theories, don't you? The only difference between a media-defined conspiracy theory and a media-admitted absolute fact is 3 to 6 months of time. That's all it takes.
Oh, here comes Tracy Franks.
Everyone's afraid of China, yeah. No, especially the people in the White House, apparently.
I don't know about afraid is the right word, Tracy.
Compromised,
bought off. You know, me, I'm afraid of my wife.
I'm afraid of my cat, Max.
And Patrick, need a conspiracy? See Stu. Stu happens. Dude, rock star. I didn't even read that before I put it up here, but Patrick, maybe you're the man. I love it. I really appreciate the feedback, folks. We've gotten great feedback on the Three Podcasters Walk Into a Bar, and I can't wait to do live again.
Yes,
if you guys are oh, my poor wife.
Are you actually married, Stu? I'm not sure you're actually
married. I've been married 37 years, and she is a saint. Guys, I got to tell you this, and we'll go back to our story. We were married 37 years. We still are. And we had a thing that if you are the B word and being a nag, we get to play jokes on each other. And we have played some really funny jokes over the years. If you can imagine me playing a joke on somebody, soap in the toothbrush, you gotta love that one. It's just a showstopper.
I'd be dead if I did.
Okay. German deindustrialization is a wake-up call. By the way, thank you for all the great comments. Please keep them coming. Keep them cards and letters, fan mail from some flounder. if anybody knows what that one is. German deindustrialization is a wake-up call for U.S. manufacturers. This was a great article, and guys, bear with me. I want to read just one little line out of this article. Germany's BASF is a bellwether for the state country's industry. Company has been long representative of Germany's manufacturing prowess, having grown since 1865 to nearly 400 production sites in 80 countries, while maintaining its headquarters and sprawling multi-unit facility in Ludwigsthal. Germany houses 200 separate plants and 39,000 employees. Wow. And you know why they're going down? They're moving their fertilizer plants out. They're moving everything because of the stupidity with natural gas and Russia and everything else that they've done. And then closing their nuclear plants. Our great Doug Sandridge, which... David, you and I had a fabulous podcast. You got his hat on. Oil and gas executives for nuclear. Nuclear. That was a great, great podcast you did.
Yeah, it was great. It was terrific. Doug's a good man.
And we are facing the same deindustrialization, not as soon, because there's a lot of companies coming to the U.S. for cheap energy. But our energy is not going to be cheap in New York and in the other states like Hochul's running and or the Newsom running. Holy smokes.
Where do they find these people, man? Where did they find them? Where did Kathy Hochul come from? How did she end up being governor of New York?
Wasn't she like appointed by the Pope?
I guess she stepped in to replace Cuomo when he had to resign in disgrace, right?
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
But didn't she just get reelected too? I mean, you know, they'll reelect anybody in New York. They reelected Bill de Blasio, for crying out loud.
Well, quick, what is this? That's Hochul in the Hochul Pope Mobile. Or the Hobo.
You know, I will say this, that in local elections, people don't vote. I think they say less than 10% of people vote in local elections. And I'm sure that's probably the same in New York. So when so not as many people can really do that. And so these people just continue to go where they need to go to make sure those certain people vote. Because, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. And I don't know if anybody's got out to early vote yet, but I went out and voted early yesterday.
Hey, as they say, on some people's sides of the fence, I don't always recommend it, but vote early, vote often, and vote by mail.
Paul Succo is a man after my own heart.
I like that. The coming energy apocalypse. I hope not. I mean, you know, if that solar flare we had last week is any indication, I'll be okay. There are some people.
Okay, let's have a conspiracy theory talk about the AT&T and the other stuff. Okay, is it coincidence, that the China balloon, second China balloon that was finishing up the connections to the grid, you heard it here second, was coming over and it was a weather balloon and it was okay, and the Biden administration put out that they intercepted it. They did a flyby. That's a Chinese weather balloon. Okay, so then AT&T goes down when that thing is within hours of it being seen. AT&T goes down, and then within a few hours after that, I think 8 hours, we had all of the pharmacies get hacked. Ooh, coincidence? No idea, but. I haven't read this one yet. Hochul took lessons from the I'm afraid to read that bad dog.
David didn't know what to do to that one.
That's a bad school there. Oh, yeah. That is a bad school.
Yeah, that one left a bad taste. Never mind.
I will say this. Good, bad, or indifferent, whether it was a balloon that went across, but the solar flare my butt.
So, well, here's what I do recommend, and it doesn't matter, natural disaster, intentional, whatever it is. As men, we need to be able to defend our home. We need to be able to stand up and make sure that any natural disaster. David, you just did that with having your natural gas on there and be ready to go. Patrick, thank you for...
If I may, I want to jump back to this article, and this was on Forbes, this German deindustrialization. David, you have said this, and I've told this to my professors and everybody seen to other individuals, and they roll this, like they just roll past it. Texas electricity costs have gone up 25% in 3 years. Yeah. We have added more solar and more wind to the grid during that time. Okay. And let me, once again, the title of this is German Deindustrialization is a Wake-Up Call for America. In this article, and I quote, many factors contribute to the skyrocketing costs in Germany for electricity and natural gas. Germany, but the one biggest driver has been Germany's push for the net zero energy policy. So because they are pushing for this, as Patrick said, or whoever that gentleman Paul said, as we continue to push for this net zero thing, thank you, Paul, we're going to only continue to spend more money and price us out of the, not even luxuries anymore, the normal things that we have of turning a light switch on, of being able to warm up hot water if it's dirty. Yeah. With the stove. We are pricing ourselves out of that here in America if we go down this path, ladies and gentlemen.
And that's not a glitch in the plan. That is a central goal of the plan. We have to remember that that's all an intentional outcome, which is why the government in Germany, despite the fact that the ruling class is now in danger of losing power if they actually hold free and fair elections, clings desperately to hold on to these policies and keep them in effect, because that is the plan, to price energy so high that it becomes a luxury item, affordable only to the wealthy elites in our society. And, you know, that has the effect of inhibiting people's ability to afford to move around. Won't be able to afford to drive a car. You barely be able to afford to heat your home. You're going to want smaller and smaller homes that cost less and less to heat and cool. And that's all part of this. They want a population that's easier to control. And you're a lot easier to control if you can't move around and can't afford the basics of life.
Yeah, my wife likes controlling me there. As
well, I mean, you know, I know how to build a fire out of wood. I know how to hunt. I know how to fish. I can clean an animal. I like to do it for fun. My father and the memories that I have, and I look forward to passing those on to my son. However, to do it for actual normal day life living, no, I'm good. I'll you know, get a cow and, you know, all that good stuff. You know, I'll go to the store.
Hey, Patrick, if you're ever in Fort Worth at a certain time, I would love to invite you to the Three Podcasters live in Fort Worth sometime. So
there you go.
You would be absolutely a hoot. I can tell you right now. At
the Flying Saucer. Yes, sir.
That's right. Shout out to the Flying Saucer.
I would buy you a root beer right now, baby.
You know, speaking of that, I hope maybe during this political, as we're in campaign season, you know, primaries will be over here March 3rd. Hopefully, maybe we can get on a few politicians that are running for re-election there at Flying Saucer and have them just chit-chat with us. That would be fun. That would be fun.
The invitations for any politician to come on any one of our three podcasts is there. I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care if you're, as RT would say, Publican. He can't talk. I mean, he's been saying America the whole time. It's America. And so when I want to talk to all politicians, Democrat, Republican, Independent. You're welcome to come on since we have.
I know. I did a great one with Bill Birch. He's running. He's a Democrat running for Railroad Commission. And I got sucked into his deal with our good friend Keith Stelter earlier in the week. And that was a hoot. as you would say. I got sucked out. I think Keith had like 200 people on his little live show for that. So
isn't that great?
Keith Stelter, yeah.
I love Keith Stelter. In fact, that picture, RT, that we had, that selfie I took when he was helping us load at NAEP, was a classic. Yeah. You and I are over there playing Ferdinand Smells a Flower, you know, the Ferdinand the Bull, and he's over there lifting all of our tables. Yeah. Paul Sakugian, the member of parliament in Canada that proposed a bill last week to make it illegal to say anything in favor of hydrocarbons.
Yeah, that was my energy absurdity of the day, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do we have that one up?
That's great. In fact, I think I actually wrote a piece about that at Daily Caller too.
I think
if not, I need to. that's insane. That damn bill. That guy wants literally exactly what Paul Sacco says here. He wants to make it a crime to say anything positive about oil, gas, or coal, any fossil fuel, and it would mean. I couldn't have a Substack anymore if it went to Canada yeah. Because that's all I do basically is say positive things about real energy.
David, I'm going to talk about our channels here for just a second. And that is, I think one of the reasons the three of our podcasts are, and no, I don't have cerebral palsy. I'm trying to count to three, but I'm
blind. One, two, three.
The three of our podcasts and this one, people are starving for real factual news based on factual physics and fiscal responsibility. And it's not just ours. I mean, between the three of us, we're ranked very, very nicely. So, very impressive. You guys are doing great.
I like that. I had to write that one down. Physics and fiscal responsibility. It's the title of this week's Crude Truth episode.
This is the crude truth, right? Everything I do. See, I stock David Blackman's content. He stocks Irina Slav. Irina Slav creates it. Tammy Nemeth, I also steal since I'm a big sponge. And then you steal all of ours, RT. This works out really well.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. I never make any phone calls. Hey,
we got about one more minute here, guys. David, what's coming around the corner for you?
Oh, man, I don't know. I got to get up tomorrow and write some more. I don't have anything big coming up. Other than we're going to keep talking to people. I just did an interview with Commissioner Wayne Christian on his podcast.
All right.
I'm going to have him on my podcast next month, towards the end of March.
That's
he's done a great job on the Railroad Commission. Christy Craddock is, of course, the chairman of the commission. She's running for re-election. She needs to be re-elected. We can't afford to have any Democrats on the Railroad Commission.
They want the EPA to basically take over.
Yeah, it's just insane what they want, and we can't afford that in Texas. So I'm just going to keep writing and doing what I'm doing.
And David, by the way, the Energy Realities Monday mornings at 8, live on your LinkedIn.
Oh, we have Robert Bryce on, yeah.
We have Robert Bryce coming on Monday live. I'm recording him at 2:00 today, but it's going to come out after that. So I watched his show, Juice, and I mean, that thing was cool.
It's everybody, one of the finest documentaries ever done about the energy system.
Unbelievable. I was sitting there trying to take notes, and I'm like, screw it. I'll have to watch it again because there was a lot of material in there to steal. To learn from. Yeah. RT, what do you got coming around the corner?
Oh, my goodness. For the crude truth, get ready. I think about ready to do what they call a media dump. I've been so blessed, had so many great maybe that's the wrong term. I apologize if so. I've just got so many great interviews that are lined up that just need to get out. And then I also thank you, Patrick, very much. You know, we've got did so many at NAEP. I need to start getting out those. So, thank you to all those guests again that were on the show during NAEP. I saw that you, Stu, released your episode with J.P. Warren and Keith Stelter. Totally jealous about that. That was like one of the first ones I talked about when we were going to do NAEP. I was like, I want those two on the Crude Truth together. So I'm totes gel. But then, you know, as far as work goes, I'm excited. I'm headed to California. Going to have the opportunity to speak about the paradigm shift that we're really seeing in the energy sector as far as investing goes. You see what JP Morgan's doing. You see what BlackRock is doing. They're getting out of certain things and repositioning into proven, tried other investments in the energy sector. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Other than that, I'm ready to get live with you guys here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks back at the bar.
I hope we're doing next week. I get to visit with Chris Wright, CEO of Liberty Energy, and Doomberg on the same event. Pretty darn cool.
Cool. You have them both together?
Both together. And we're going to be talking about Chris Wright's report on humanity. It is phenomenal.
Yeah, I just got it in the mail yesterday. I've gone through about a third of it so far. It's really
isn't that great? I was reading it last night. I got it for PDF because Doomberg, Mr. Green Chicken, is virtual. So, I mean, he said, you can't mail it to me. So here comes the PDF. And I was like, yes, I got a PDF. So, all right. Well, guys, thank you all very much. And for all of our listeners, Paul, Patrick, John, Paul, George, Ringo, Tracy, Pincus, we really appreciate everybody giving us some great feedback. Thanks. We will see you guys next time.
All right.